B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Zach Berman. Zach, you're on 97.5. How are you today, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you, and outstanding work with The Athletic, of course. We read you all the time, and we were talking today, Zach. Jamie was down there yesterday at practice.
I missed you, Zach.
Oh, man, I wish I saw you.
Yeah, I went with the combo Swedish fish blue raspberry water ice, in case you were wondering.
There you go.
I would say, I'll bet you Zach stays away from the water ice for the most
probably.
Part.
Probably. He's a professional. I'm a radio
right?
guy.
Am I right on that, Zach?
Yeah, well most of practices are also at like 9:15 a.m. So
true.
If you're going in for water ice at like 9:30 a.m., that's probably a bad thing.
Hey, we eat pizza here at 7:30, so we're the wrong group to be talking to about that. But, Zach, as I said, we haven't been able to see an awful lot of what's going on, but especially the last 2 days, you were able to see Carson Wentz, the offense, go against an upper echelon defense. And just what are your thoughts coming out of there? How did they look to you? And maybe what did you learn that you didn't know with them going against a different unit?
Yeah, so on Monday, 2 days ago, I was really impressed by Baltimore's defense. You know, I thought they gave Carson and the offense a hard time. I thought they were real physical, and that was something that helped the receivers. I thought the ball was on the ground a little more than probably the Eagles wanted that day. I also thought Carson made some really high-level throws, hit Alshon Jeffrey on a deep pass on Monday, had a great pass to Mac Hollins yesterday that Hollins should have brought in. And 7-on-7, Carson hit Alshon in the back corner of the end zone. Great ball placement, great touch. So you're seeing a lot of good signs. I think, frankly, what the Eagles had the past 2 days is more valuable than what any preseason game could have been for Carson. Mm-hmm. Outside of the fact that he wasn't getting hit, they were able to do a lot of different situations, stuff that you can't necessarily simulate in a game. And I thought this was going to be a real good week for the offense. I don't think this week was as helpful for the defense. The reason being, Baltimore's offense is a little unconventional, and I don't know if what they saw these past few days is going to really get them ready for some of the teams they're going to see on the schedule. That being said, playing against that offensive line, playing against that running game, seeing some of the run fits, that could potentially help the front seven.
Getting back to Carson real quick, Zach, Jamie was saying, and I think Doug Peterson alluded to it also yesterday, that they're keeping him in the pocket mostly. He's not getting outside. He's not doing different things. And part of the reasoning is because he's making quicker reads. A, do you think it's a concentrated effort? And B, do you see progression from him as far as making quicker reads while he's in the pocket?
I don't think it's a conscious decision on his part. I do think he is making quicker reads. His fourth year in the offense. My personal opinion is that the Eagles shouldn't neuter Carson Wentz, so to speak. Shouldn't take away that part of his game. Well, I think what makes him special is the ability to improvise, is playing off schedule. If you think back to 2017, a lot of the best plays he made were off schedule plays, third and longs, where he was able to extend the drive because of that ability. And if you're kind of keeping him confined in the pocket, I don't think you're getting the full Carson Wentz experience. I think that would be a problem for the Eagles. The function of a training camp practice is that you know where the ball's going every play. You're trying to work on different things, and there's not a pass rush that's bringing you to the ground, so the quarterback's not going to move as much as he will in games. I'm real curious to see come September if this is the way Carson plays, if there's any change because of the injuries. If there is, I don't think that would be a good thing for the Eagles.
Yeah, Zach, so one of the other things that stood out to me yesterday was the play of the secondary. They didn't come, I think Avante dropped a pass. I think Ronald Darby dropped an interception. But the guys were in right positions. Darby kind of looked explosive to me for a guy coming off of a knee injury. And then Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, and Avante Maddox continue to show up. How's this going to shake out? I think I've asked you before who your starters are going to be week one versus Washington. Has that changed at all over the last week or two? Because all three of those young guys seem to be stepping up.
Yeah, I've had Corey Unger, the defensive backs coach, a few times, and he keeps telling me they don't have to make a decision yet. But time's coming up for when they are going to have to make a decision.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
It's going to be fascinating to see because one of those guys is going to be pretty disappointing. Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas have both had good summers. Both have been on the field every day. And I think one of them is not going to start on the outside because the way it's looking, Darby's going to be back for week one. Perhaps they slow play Darby and they kind of avoid that problem for a week. But the way it looks now, they're going to have a tough decision to make. In Darby's case, by the way, he's running at 22 miles per hour, which is 1 mile per hour less than kind of his max speed almost. So he's getting close. He's almost there. He needs to kind of shed that bulky brace at some point. It doesn't look like him out there.
Yeah, but he looked pretty good.
For the most part, I've been impressed with the way he's moving. But Jones and Douglas have been on the field every day, and it's going to be tough to look one of them in the eye and tell them they're not starting when they've done everything that this coaching staff has wanted them to do this summer.
So, Zach, is there anything that we can look to tomorrow night? I mean, I think the defensive end, the backup defensive ends are competing tomorrow night. Maybe you're looking at the linebacker spot to see who steps up there. But what do you concentrate on tomorrow night if you're a fan just you know, trying to glean something for the regular season?
Yeah, so I still think they're going to play these top running backs. I don't know how long, but they played Miles Sanders – And they played Jordan Howard in both preseason games, and I would guess they give them some time again on Thursday. So those guys especially, and I hear from fantasy football players all the time about how much work Miles Sanders is going to get. I think people are going to be impressed the more and more they see Sanders. Outside of that, I would guess the defense plays more than the offense, that you're going to see some from the starting unit. But I think you hit it on the head there, Bob. Linebacker is a big question because they have some injury concerns there. They have kind of an ambiguous depth chart. And who's going to step up, whether it's Nate Gary, Zach Brown, LJ Fort, TJ Edwards? I think that's a really interesting position. And if there's a spot going into the season that's uncertain, especially with Nigel Bradham's injury and Kamugu Rashir Hill banged up, that's one that's still uncertain.
Yeah, and Zach, another one I'll be watching on Thursday night is the battle between, I guess, Josh Sweat and Deshaun Hall. I think Deshaun's been probably one of the very bright spots of the early training camp and the two games. Is that a battle that is still up for grabs, or do you think that Deshaun has clearly kind of won that fourth defensive end job?
I think Deshaun Hall has played well enough to win it, and if they go based on what they've seen in practice and in the games, it should be Hall. And this isn't like an unknown player. I mean, he was a third-round pick back in 2017 by Carolina. Just couldn't hang on there. Was in some 3-4 schemes.
Yeah, they tried to play that linebacker a little bit, and that wasn't working out.
So he's put on 30 pounds. So he's a different player than he was when the Eagles signed him last December. And I think he's the frontrunner, obviously, to be that guy. There's still two preseason games. They would love if someone like Josh Sweat, who they drafted in the fourth round, stands out. But if you go based on what you've seen so far, it would need to be Deshaun Hall.
Yeah, let's talk about the backup offensive linemen, because I think most teams around the league keep eight. We know who our five locked up are. Are there any position battles on, like, is Matt Pryor on the bubble? Do you think Wiz has a spot locked up? I would think Maialata does, and obviously Andre Dillard does. Well, who do you think that eighth kind of bubble offensive lineman is going to be?
Yeah, I think they're going to keep as many as 10, to be honest with you.
Really?
And, I mean, they've really invested in young developmental offensive linemen here. They have Brandon Brooks coming off injury. Jason Peters is, you know, obviously an older player who's been banged up. I think they go deep on the offensive line. I mean, you're already looking at it. Andre Dillard's going to be on the team. Jordan Maialata's going to be on the team.
Yeah.
Alapulavati Vaitai, unless they trade him, is going to be on the team. So you have eight right there. Then I still think they're going to keep Matt Pryor.
Do you?
Stephon Nussi's a really interesting one. I think he was your starter in the Super Bowl going into this offseason, going into training camp. I thought he was going to be on the team. Hasn't played as well at center. Has moved from center to almost exclusively right guard this week. And if you're confident Vaitai can be your backup guard, And if Isaac Seumalo is going to be your backup center or something happens to Kelce, that gives you the flexibility to keep one of your younger players, whether it's an undrafted guy like Nate Herbig, Sua Opeta, whether it's Brett Toth, who they signed this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's some possibilities there, but my guess is they go deep on the offensive line. That's the position where you want guys to develop.
And so you say Wesnewski has moved from center to right guard?
Center to right guard this past week, yeah.
Okay.
Or left guard. He's definitely at guard this week. He had struggled with snaps earlier in camp, in the preseason games. They're playing Nate Herbig as their backup center, and they have moved Wisniewski over to guard.
That's probably not a good sign for him.
No, not at all. Because, I mean, you know.
He just started guard in the Super Bowl.
Big V getting the right guard reps. Yeah.
Yeah, his value to the team was as kind of your swing guard. Swing guard center, you're in interior lineman. And if he's not going to be your backup center, it takes a lot of his value away.
So then, so that starting group then was Dillard and then Wisniewski at left guard instead of Matt Pryor?
Well, the starting group had Seumalo at left guard. Wisniewski's been with the second team.
So with the second team, so it was Dillard.
They've had Vitae at right guard.
Okay, so with the second group, you had Dillard, Wisniewski, and then you had someone else at right guard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the second group of Wisniewski had been the second team center, and he's been the second team guard
now. Okay.
Right. Is it too late to bring in some kicking competition for Jake Elliott's act? Because from what I saw of Carly Lloyd yesterday, I'm thinking of giving her a little tryout.
Yeah, that's Del Rand's finest, right? that was an impressive kick.
And there are
a lot of teams that are looking for people who can kick a 51-yard field goal. The Eagles aren't one of them.
Yeah. So, Zach, how many wide receivers do you think they end up keeping?
I think they keep five. You can push for six if you wanted to keep Greg Ward or Mark and Michelle or Carlton Agadazi on the roster. Frankly, Matt Collins, I don't think has done enough based on the way he's played to be then in that spot. But the Eagles like him. He can contribute on special teams, and he has shown potential in the past. So I still think he's going to be your fifth wide receiver, and I think the Eagles go deeper at some other spots. Tight end is going to be real interesting here. Richard Rodgers' injury kind of complicates it. Could move Joshua Perkins up the depth chart there, or they could look elsewhere for a third tight end.
Yeah, I got to tell you, seeing Agadosi live and in pads, I was like, damn. This dude is
a big kid.
Yeah, he's pretty.
Yeah, he makes a play a day. He makes a play every day.
Yeah, and he's physically impressive. It's going to be interesting to see who they keep there at the back end, because I don't think Matt Collins' job is safe, but, you know, they have fourth-round capital invested in him. We'll see.
Exactly, and they were really high on him going into last year. The injury really made it just a lost year, but when you talk to the people at the Eagles, they're still confident in Matt Collins, from what I understand.
It seems like any cuts that they make are going to be really good competitions. You know, it's not like you're cutting guy, we're keeping him because you're getting rid of him. It seems like there's really good competition all over this roster.
You're absolutely right, Bob. And you see it every year. Like, you know, people tend to overrate their own team. And when guys are cut, they're not picked up. And that kind of shows what the league thinks of your team. This year, when the Eagles have cut guys during camp, and you're talking like their 88th, 89th, 90th guys, they're picked up elsewhere and they're contributing elsewhere. It really shows the strength of this roster overall. And I think when the Eagles make their cuts August 31st, there's going to be players who they can't get to practice squad because they're going to be claimed elsewhere. Once they hit the waiver wire, they're going to be signed. And I think for those last few spots, 50, 51, 52, 53, one of the things the Eagles are going to consider is who they think they can sneak past on the practice squad and who they think is going to be claimed.
That's why Howie gets the big bucks, Zach, and that's why you got to keep following Zach Berman at The Athletic for all your Eagles news and action. And, Zach, I know you're looking forward to the regular season just like us. Training camp's coming to a close, so good luck for the rest of the season. We'll be reading you in The Athletic, and thanks for joining us today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.